This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on structural reforms enabling foreign investment in India. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist.
Shubhamoy, the Prime Minister said that India is having a story which is strong today and is stronger tomorrow. How do you read this statement?
The stronger tomorrow is something that, because if you look at the data coming out now, it does definitely show that the economy is recovering faster than one had expected. And that means there is now more sectors catching up. For instance, if you look at the sales of cars, if you look at the sales of FMCG, if you look at even in terms of the surprisingly the real estate sector, if you look at in terms of CV, all of these sectors are showing a fair amount of recovery. In fact, if you look at even the deeper numbers, railway freight loading, if you look at movement of buying of petrol and diesel, these all show that there is a fair amount of, not just fair, a substantial amount of monumental strength coming back to the economy. And that, so definitely looking at the future, is definitely much more brighter.
Prime Minister mentioned about reforms in three specific areas. One is education, then the second one is the labor, and the third one is the agriculture. Now, among these three, which one you think is more critical and most important?
All the three, if you look at agriculture, if you look at labor, if you look at any other sector, all of these are very significant. Even the education reforms, these are all meant to improve the quality of the factors. Now, India's problem as it would come out of the COVID pandemic will be that there is not enough movement on productivity. And productivity is something which is going to determine how countries across the world will be making the response to the crisis in terms of the next growth rate. Because productivity in the first two decades of this century had been flat. Now, what does that mean? It means that basically we have been putting more people to work, we have been putting more people into schools, but the quality of technical expertise from them had not been rising, as one would have expected from a young economy like India. So therefore, what was the weak thing? The weak thing was the fact that these factors, labor, lack of education, lack of health, and in agriculture, the lack of possibility of investment because of the price realization was low, was holding up the growth in productivity. So I think overall, these things are just what is necessary, and that is why there is so much a buzz around them, because if handled well, they can give a push to productivity which can have a very significant impact on the GDP than anything else that we can think of.
Now, coming to the foreign direct investment, Prime Minister said that it's very easy for any investor when he wants to take a decision on putting money here. So how easy you think that the entire situation has become, especially when we talk about investing in India?
Yes, it is definitely far more easy now. And this is interesting because India is now one of the largest recipients of FDI. So foreign direct investment, the flow definitely does show that there is a substantial interest in India. In terms of FDI flow, India is the two largest economies in the world. So that definitely does show that India is attracting a large amount of foreign investment and much more higher than it is a few years ago. But the point is, the sectors where India will be looking to have the biggest, you know, push would be the greenfield. And in greenfield sector, which means basically setting up new production, new services industry, we still need to do a fair amount of work there.
And what about the domestic investment? Because we cannot go alone with the FDI. We need more and more domestic investment. Do you think that there are some encouraging signs from the India Inc. to put more money into new projects as well as the existing projects?
You know, there, this will take time. You know, as of now, if I look at the bank credit figure, it's fairly anemic. And that is expected because last 2 years themselves, the credit growth wasn't very substantial. The economy wasn't really, really pushing for a very high level of takeoff. That is also because of the fact there has been a lot of changes being done. And those are necessary changes in the rules of capital, how capital is allocated. I refer primarily to the bankruptcy law. Why is that important? Because that has created a new rules for who can invest and what is the way you can invest. It's not very easy now to just take a credit and simply sit on it to put back into your former project and all that. So domestic investors are much more cautious. So yes, definitely credit not growing as fast because investors are now realizing that there's no easy money. You'll have to make the homework of learning which sectors, how to put them, make very careful analysis of the IRR, the internal rate of return, before you can really say that I am ready to take fresh credit to push my industry, push my company. That is something which Indian industry was not really, really known for being famous. And that is where there was a problem. But where they are, for instance, if you look at the highways, for instance, where lots of things have been sorted out, you'd notice that the National Highway is able to give out much more projects in the current fiscal. For instance, it was awarded about 40 national highway projects with a capital cost of almost 50,000 crore in the first half of the current fiscal. Now, that is substantial, and that is some rumor in the middle of the lockdown. So, obviously, they are the sectors where the rules have become clearer, the investment rules are much more smooth, land acquisition issues, pre-construction activities, all of those have been solved.
Now, I will take two issues, especially when we talk about investment. The first one is the changes in labor laws by various states. How do you think that this is going to boost investment? Because the states are vying with each other to attract more and more investment. And this is one very critical factor. So how do you think that will change the mindset of a domestic investor as well beside the foreign investor to put money in that particular state?
Here, most of the states in India really didn't depend on labor enhancing production. Because it is always known that you've got good labor, trained labor, through large parts of India. But that labor was therefore always regarded as something that is available and one doesn't need to make much of an effort. Instead, the fight was always to provide land, to provide power at competitive rate and capital, basically softer flow of capital. This was the game on which most states in India were playing. When we talk about labor reforms now and when states trying to show that they are keen to provide a large army of laborers to be able to work the industry, then two things come along. First of all, the states have to show that they are the right place to set up a labor-intensive industry. Now, this is a very interesting thing because it means that the state is already also clear about, that the state already has put in educational infrastructure, the state is actually also putting in health infrastructure, and the state also has set up connectivity with the ports and other places to be able to transport that is the product. Typically, this is something which is a very new area. Why are the states suddenly talking about labor reforms? Well, my sense is that the reason why they're talking about labor reforms is they have found that other ways to bring in capital, to bring in industry, like giving softer loans, by giving large tracts of land or power at concessional rate, are not working anymore. So the states are now willing to look at the difficult choice of putting labor at attractive rate for the industry, because this was really necessary and was really being pushed back by most states for a very long time.
And the second aspect is the stability in the tax regime. We have seen recent ruling by arbitration tribunal in Singapore in Vodafone matter. And after that, it has been said that the government not going with the retrospective taxation and it's not going to fight that particular ruling. So how do you think that this particular ruling will make a change or will bring a lot of change in the taxation system?
The government will be able to change the retrospective law. Let me say why. This is one area which is a legacy issue. And if the government can do the reforms in other areas, then probably this problem will not be that substantial. But the specifically arbitration issue, the problem is India does not accept the arbitration law or the convention, which is called the ICSID, which is the world's largest arbitration setup. India does not sign on to that, hasn't signed on to that. India instead accepts what is called the software agreement, which is the UNICITRAL, which is also known as an EO convention. So there, India has signed on, but still India says that any tax dispute or any dispute between the government and anybody else is something which can be settled only within India by an Indian court. In other words, no arbitration panel anywhere in the world can give an order, or even if they give an order, that order is not valid for implementation within India. It is something which every party across the political spectrum has agreed. The retrospective law is also part of that. So unless all the parties agree that India will change the right to have retrospective laws, this one particularly doesn't go out anywhere. But I think even having said that, the flow of FDI and the flow of FPI investment into India shows that investors abroad understand where India stands, and are willing to play within that game. Therefore, as I said, it's not an insurmountable barrier. It is something that often comes up as a difficult issue.
This pandemic has given new area for boosting the investment. One such area is pharmacy or the pharmaceutical. And as Prime Minister rightly pointed out, that India became pharmacy to the world. Now, what are the key things which the government should do to attract more and more investment in this particular field?
We already, as you know, are the largest producer of vaccines in the world. And the developments in the pharmaceutical sector has often not been appreciated, has often not been talked about. But India's ability to produce vaccines at a mass scale is a remarkable manufacturing ability. In fact, we could have said that that was something, you know, initially there was a lot of discussion that India will not be able to compete with China on the pharmaceutical sector. And one of the things that was talked about was that, you know, the supply of what is called the active pharmaceutical ingredient, which basically means the core composition of any pharmaceutical product is largely produced by China, and India will be starved of the supply. But as it has turned out, that has not been a difficult one for India to handle. And Indian pharmaceutical industry is actually becoming a very big one. It is also aided by the fact that India government is expanding the supply of medicines to its population. You know, the Jan Aushadhi Kendra scheme, also the Ayushman Bharat scheme, these are very big measures to put affordable health for the population of India. And that means obviously corresponding demand for pharmaceutical products. So we have a tremendous possibility to expand, show, encourage investment. So overall, it's a very powerful competitive advantage that India possesses in the pharmaceutical sector, which India can use to make a major change in the global pecking order.
And apart from pharmaceutical, do you think that any other sector which has emerged a new area for attracting investment, especially during pandemic?
Like steel is surprisingly showing a turnaround. Look, the steel sector in the world is consolidating. And in that consolidation, India is a very, very major, significant chunk of it. Talked about size of the road construction. That requires steel. Automobiles require steel. There is so much construction itself requires steel. And India's projection is that it will go up to something like 300 million tons of steel per year. Now, that's a very massive rise, which means that there is an enormous capacity for both long steel products, which means Indian companies, Steel Authority of India, government-owned. Now, these are surprisingly huge production or advantage opportunities and so on. And there are other sectors like IT. Insurance is another sector which is a massive one. It is not surprising that there's so much of insurance mergers and acquisitions happening. And this pandemic has done only to encourage that attraction for insurance. And which is why you find that insurance companies are really, really looking at very substantial growth in their top line and bottom line in 2020-21.
Shubham, RBI Governor's statement today, where he talked about optimism, very good projection about the second half, which started on October 1st. So do you agree with his optimism? How do you read this optimism?
India, for instance, there's been a double-digit rise in exports from India, which has allowed for a nearly halving of the trade gap with China. Now, that's amazing. We have come down to $12 billion trade deficit. If you look at other sectors, there are FMCG sectors, which is now looking for a substantial jump. If you look at sectors like we talked about, cement, that is actually now moving up very impressively. If you look at in the IT sector, Infosys is saying that it's planning to expand. TCS is saying that we have recovered our numbers very fast and we are doing its expansion. In fact, TCS has given surprisingly high salaries of its employees. So these are significant movements in that happening. The RBI governor said in terms of the overall economy, the real rate of growth of the Indian GDP will be shrink by 9% in this system. The future is looking very good. The present is obviously challenging, but it does seem that the recovery or the turnaround is looking much more faster or much more stronger than it was thought possible.
Thank you, Shubham.
Thank you.
You were listening to our discussion on structural reforms enabling foreign investment in India. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.